Newell's got some time off. I'm Dave Cohen. Glad to be joining you. Today at 11 o'clock, we're getting an update from state, local, and federal officials on the effort to capture the last two of the 10 escapees from the Orleans Parish Jail. We'll bring that to you live and break down everything we hear in that coming up next hour. This hour, though, we want to break down the race for mayor of New Orleans. We're less than 45 days away from qualifying and things really kicking into high gear. Yesterday on this program, you heard candidate Helena Moreno, the last of the major candidates to join us here on WWL, break down where they stand on major issues and how they think they should approach this campaign and how they want to be elected the next mayor of New Orleans. So we thought it appropriate to talk about the race, how it's shaping up and how it's looking, and who better than Clancy Dubose, WWL-TV political analyst, to join us and help us talk about the race. Hey, Clance, how you doing?
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Fantastic. Looks like most of the rain is off to our east now. A few more showers and thunderstorms trailing through now, and hopefully in the next couple hours we'll get a break before another round tomorrow, and then glorious weather this weekend. You believe in late May and early June we're going to have 60s in the morning on both sides of the lake?
I'm looking forward to it, especially after a few days earlier this week.
Yeah, instead of 80s for lows, we're going to have 60s for lows, so that's great. I was fascinated talking to Helena Moreno yesterday because she was more open to discussing the shortcomings of the current mayor of New Orleans, the current administration, and the problems facing the city than I have heard her at any time before. And in talking to people inside a couple of the campaigns, they told me, watch out, it's going to get really, really ugly. As Helena Moreno, Oliver Thomas, and Arthur Hunter fight it out. Are you expecting an ugly mayor's race?
Well, it depends on your definition of ugly. I've been doing this for over half a century, so I've seen ugly. They're going to take the gloves off, which happens. You know, it happens in politics, and it's just the way things are. Because somebody's going to be out front, whether it's a close race or somebody's way out front. Candidates who are trailing, who feel like they need to distinguish themselves from other candidates, feel the need to go on the attack, and it's legitimate. You know, it's a discussion, and it's a conversation. Democracy, at the end of the day, in its best and purest form, democracy is a conversation. It's a public conversation that everyone is welcome to join, and everyone should join. Some people only join with their vote. Other people join by running. Other people join by staying silent, because that's part of a conversation, too, and just listening or tuning out. But it's a conversation, and sometimes the conversation gets heated. And other times, I'm sorry, my wife was on the phone walking around the house and trying to find a quiet spot.
It's all right.
She's always on me about getting, you know, so I got to turn the favor a minute there. So anyway.
Tell her hi for us, by the way.
I will. This conversation is, you know, this conversation known as the election, it's going to get heated. And, you know, it's like, you know, friends could sometimes have heated conversations, and neighbors and family members, you know, that's part of life. And so, yeah, it's you know, one way of putting it is say it's going to get ugly, and it very well may. I would not be surprised. You know, there's a lot at stake. You know, people who are running for something, it's not a decision you make casually. They're very serious. You'll see it. You'll see it happening. One thing you sort of mentioned, and I want to go a little bit deeper into that. When there's a term-limited mayor, oftentimes people run to distinguish themselves from what's there now. Another way of putting it is they run against the incumbent. Well, LaToya's not on the ballot. You know, LaToya Cantrell is not on the ballot.
No, but she will impact the race.
Well, she will impact it, not so much. You're right. But her record is what's going to impact it. Her personality and all that is going to impact it. But she is not a candidate. And what I'm going to say here is there's a limited amount of traction you're going to get just by running against LaToya. You got to do more than just say, I'm not LaToya. You know,
Saying you're the anti-Cantrell, because everybody in the race is not LaToya.
Yeah, right, exactly. And so, you know, I don't know if she plans to make an endorsement. I don't know that her endorsement would do anybody any good.
And it could do them bad, couldn't it?
Exactly. Edwin Edwards used to joke, if you want me to help you, I'll endorse your opponent. You know, and that's pretty true of LaToya Cantrell. Her numbers are really bad right now. I don't think she could deliver anything publicly. The best she could do is encourage some of her friends who are still loyal and donors to, you know, get behind somebody financially and do it quietly. But we'll see.
Well, she even complained publicly.
Doing things quietly is not her style, but we'll see what happens.
But she even complained publicly during the last couple of election cycles that people in other races did not want her endorsement, and she was upset about that. And she said publicly people were asking her not to endorse them, and she didn't like that.
Yeah, well, you know, it's the truth hurts sometimes, and she's pretty thin-skinned, you know, not in her defense, just an observation. I find that not all, but a lot of mayors get to be thin-skinned. And we'll see how the next mayor shakes up,
so
whoever he or she may be.
Let's talk about this race for the next mayor. We know the major candidates, Helena Moreno, Oliver Thomas, Arthur Hunter. Unlikely we're going to see any other well-known or well-financed candidates, right?
I would be surprised, but... Well, let's say I try never to be surprised in politics, but it's you know, every day that passes makes it less likely. Someone would have to have at least a medium high profile and a lot of money, or a really high profile and the ability to raise money. And I just don't see anybody out there like that. But, you know, it's anything can happen. We'll just wait and see. But right now it looks like the major candidates are the three you just mentioned, you know, Moreno, Thomas, and Hunter.
And at first blush, what do you think that means for the race?
Well, right now, and this is only right now, I saw a poll recently that had Moreno way out front.
She's got the most money.
Got the most money, but got the highest profile. And, you know, she presents well, and she plays her politics very well, it's a big difference running for mayor than anything else. And mayor is a different office from anything else. My friend James Carville once said that, you know, outside of president of the United States, being mayor of a big city is the toughest job in America. And he was right. I agree with that, especially mayor of New Orleans, a city with a lot of challenges and very limited resources. So, you know, it's... The bloom fades from the rose pretty quickly. New Orleans mayors tend not to have long honeymoons because the reality is such that very difficult decisions have to be made. But anyway, in terms of where the way the race shapes up, Moreno is significantly out front, but we haven't really started the conversation yet. What's happening now is they're mostly raising money in lining up political support. But I think most of them are trying to raise money, especially Moreno already has raised a lot of money, and she continues to do so. But Oliver Thomas and Arthur Hunter are very busy, you know, making the rounds, soliciting donations, and, you know, reaching out to people who might contribute and asking them to get on board. And that's an important part of the campaign process, because we live in a democracy where we don't have public financing of elections the way some countries do. At the national level, we have sort of a public financing thing, but it's kind of an optional thing. Most of the money comes from private sources, and that's the way it happens in a mayor's race. So, you know, as part of the conversation, you got to have a loud voice, and raising money gives you a loud voice because it allows you to get out there and advertise. You know, most people don't go to forums. They don't watch the debates. And, you know, they don't get a chance to do firsthand research about the candidates and their positions and what their election may or may not do for them individually or their neighborhood or their community. They rely on advertising and word of mouth. So, you know, that's why they need to raise a lot of money to run, because it's expensive. And there's all forms of advertising now. You know, back when I started out, it was just newspaper and TV. Now you got all kinds of
and
social
radio.
Media, and campaigns hire people to do traditional media, and then they hire a separate consultant to do nothing but social media. You know, so it's a whole new ball game in the last 15 to 20 years in politics, and more social media is impacting campaigns.
We're talking with political analyst, WWL TV political analyst Clancy Dubose, frequent guest here on WWL Radio, to help us break down the mayor's race. When we come back, we'll take a look at some of the major issues that could influence how people will vote in this race and what Clancy thinks will motivate voters to pick one of these candidates or the other. We'll talk about race and how it plays a role with Oliver Thomas and Arthur Hunter, the two black candidates, Helena Moreno, born in Mexico, and we'll talk about her race and how that may influence her ability to be elected mayor of New Orleans. And your thoughts, 504-260-1870. You can call us in Texas on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line and ask your questions for Clancy or share your observations and comments, and we'll share some of those. Also talk about the fact that turnout for the last mayoral race was dismally low. Does Clancy expect voters to come out and cast ballots in this election? Are they back in interested in the race? And will they make their voices heard? We'll talk to Clancy about that after this. I'm Dave Cohen on WWL. Talking to Clancy Dubose about the mayor's race. Clancy, what do you think voters are most concerned about and want from the next mayor? What's going to really motivate voters in this election?
I think two things are going to be at the top of their list. Public safety, crime, you know, just generally feeling safe. And I think competence. They want someone who they feel understands how to make government work, how to make City Hall work and function. There's a feeling that the city government is totally dysfunctional right now. And, you know, people want someone who they feel like can get things back on track.
And
the city moving in a good direction.
Yeah, and we've heard a lot of that rhetoric. In fact, yesterday at this time when we were talking to Helena Moreno, she really hit hard on that topic, on the fact that she would put not her friends and family in key positions in City Hall, but the most capable people, and really did lambast the current mayor for the ineffectiveness of City Hall and talked about the pain that many New Orleanians have felt and how mm-hmm. some of her best friends and family have even left the city because they just can't take it anymore.
Yep, that's a feeling that a lot of people share. So that message, you know, if you have a message that resonates, you got a good shot to win this thing.
We talked about
that applies to all three candidates. I'm not suggesting that Moreno's the only one with a message like that, but you know, it's what all three of them are aiming to do.
And that's what I took away. Arthur Hunter is the first one to hit the airwaves, both here on the radio and on television, with commercials that he's already launched. And it seems that competence was one of the real messages he was trying to get across.
Yep, absolutely.
Will voters, though, I mean, we saw dismally low turnout for the last mayoral race and for some subsequent elections. We just have not seen a lot of New Orleanians voting like they used to. We had less than a third of registered voters vote in the last mayoral election. Do you expect we're going to see those numbers rise? Do you think that these candidates will be able to get those people off their butts?
I hope they rise. I think the low numbers in the last mayor's race were a reflection of the fact that there was nobody who really could excite people. You know, the LaToya Cantrell got back into office with, you know, pretty low percentage of the actual registered voters voting for her. It was less than 20%. You know, it was a very low turnout, and she got a majority, but it was not like, you know, look at Mitch Landrieu and Marc Morial and the majorities that they got. It's much different. Bigger turnout, more people voting. You know, when people call it voting with your feet, when people stay home and don't vote, they feel like, I don't like any of these folks. And that's kind of what it was the last time Cantrell ran.
Mitch Landrieu was kind of an outlier, being a white man who was able to get elected twice to be the mayor of New Orleans after a long, long history of black mayors of New Orleans. Helena Moreno
and by the way, the issue that got him over the top when he ran was competence. That's what it was, because Ray Nagin was seen as, you know, when he ran, he was a fresh face and a new voice and a business guy, supposedly. He wasn't really a businessman, but anyway, he came from he was in the private sector. But after 8 years of Nagin and, you know, sort of lackluster performance, a feeling of lack of competence, they said we need somebody who knows how to be mayor. And that feeling transcends race. It really does. So
in this election, how do you think race plays a factor? We have two black candidates, and Oliver Thomas and Arthur Hunter as among the major names that we are expecting to get onto the ballot. And then Helena Moreno, who is of Mexican descent, born in Mexico, moved to Texas, lived around the country before coming here and falling in love with New Orleans. Are voters ready for another not black mayor?
Well, that's a question that voters themselves will answer. Yeah, that's really it. You know, it's I can't put it any more simply than that. I think the voters will have to decide that, and I think if it comes down to competence and style, I think style is going to matter here. You know, we'll see. A part of it also, and Arthur Hunter is hitting on this theme that he's the outsider. He's the new face. He's saying these other two have been there for decades between them, and nothing's gotten any better. But, you know, and that's a message that may resonate among a lot of people. Although, in fairness, neither Oliver Thomas nor Helena Moreno has been mayor. You know, they've, you know, I think the council has been a very strong council under the current mayor because it needed to be.
And while they've been a strong council, it's been pointed out many times, much of the legislation they passed, many of the ordinances that they got into law, the mayor's office would ignore or slow walk or just not implement. And so their impact has been limited to a large extent.
Right. And that's correct.
And they've been hamstrung because their only tool left it would be to cut funding to the mayor's office. But if they cut the mayor's funding, then that kills city programs, and there's only so much, you know, then are they
well,
then
they
the
were
bad
cutting
ones?
Her, yeah, they cut her discretionary funding, like travel.
They tried.
Know, that's what they were going after. Yeah, exactly.
Didn't agree, but they tried. Arthur Hunter, though, also has a record when he was a judge that can be brought into this conversation as well. Do you expect that we'll be hearing about some of the bonds he set or rulings he made cases he oversaw?
Everything's on the table. You know, that's absolutely. So, you know, that's part of the conversation that we're going to have here in New Orleans. And it will be something that is I think it'll be interesting to watch. People like me, political junkies, say fun, but you know, I can't really say too much because the race is yet to be run. You know, I don't want to, I'm not going to make any predictions. If you look at a poll right now, it shows Moreno comfortably out in front, but that's like taking a photograph. A poll is a photograph. It's a snapshot in time. When things start happening and people start paying closer attention, those numbers could change, and that's what a campaign is all about.
One person texts us on the Oakland Jewelers Talk and Text line, says, "You're kidding yourself if you don't think race is the major factor in this race for mayor." I don't know. Do you think it can't be the major factor, is it? Or it is a factor, and someone else suggests that Oliver Thomas and Arthur Hunter could split the black vote, and that would help Helena Moreno.
Well, all of those things are true. Race is a factor. It's not an issue. And it's only a factor if voters decide it's a factor. Again, remember, voters are the ones who decide. And Thomas is definitely positioning himself to be, from early stages, the black candidate. You know, and there is a feeling in the black community, which is understandable, and some people in the white community feel that way, too. They want to vote for someone that they can identify with. You know, so that's human nature. So we'll just have to see how this all plays out.
Could Moreno capitalize on her Hispanic roots? Is there enough of a Hispanic voting bloc in New Orleans now with the changing demographics we've seen, particularly over the last 20 years since Hurricane Katrina, that that could help her? Is there a significant enough voting bloc of Hispanics that she could count on?
I think that it's a significant bloc, but there's Black and Asian also. So, I mean, everybody's going after every bloc of voters, you know. But we talk about blocks of voters. There was a time in our country and in our city where, you know, you could get 90 or 80% of the white vote and 97% of the Black vote. I think those days are gone. And it may happen again, but it would require a unique set of circumstances. And we need to remember, this is a lesson I learned a long time ago from a very wise man, a political consultant, Jim Carbon. Every election is a unique event. There are lots of things that happen that, you know, are repetitive. You know, you got to have a campaign, you got to have messaging, but issues happen, things happen. It's a roller coaster ride for the candidates as well as the voters. Stuff will happen that nobody has any control over. It could be a hurricane. It could be an economic calamity. It could be a, God forbid, a terrorist attack. There are all sorts of things that can happen that none of the candidates can control. But it will affect how people vote. A flood, a hurricane, another terrorist attack in the French Quarter, so a crime wave, you know, it's, and on a spur of the moment, voters, the election can turn 180 degrees. And people will say, wow, how did that happen? Well, because things happen that nobody can control, nobody can anticipate. We have to let the campaign happen and see how the candidates respond to whatever does happen.
Somebody texts us and says, Thomas is a crook. How much do you think his federal corruption conviction and then his emerging from that and successfully returning to the city council will play a role in this election?
I think it's definitely an issue that, you know, he's going to have to confront. There's no question about that. We'll just see how he handles it. I don't see where it doesn't come up. I mean, just when you mention his name, Black and white people alike, Asian, Hispanic, everybody says something. And they either say, that rules him out for me, or, you know what, he deserves a second chance. He came back and he's been serving on the council, et cetera, et cetera. So it's, again, every single voter has to make that call in his or her own mind.
Yeah, that is an interesting debate over, okay, here's someone who has, quote, paid their debt to society. He did his federal prison time. Now do you let him move on for that, or do you hold it against him still? And I guess, yeah, you're right. That's a decision each and every voter is going to have to make.
Yep.
So here we go. We'll get qualifying July 11th is when candidates can start putting their names on the dotted lines, and we'll see if we get any surprises at that point, and then we'll actually see what the meat of this campaign will be. Any other thoughts you want to share with us, Clancy Dubose, on the mayor's race?
No, I think that's it. I mean, I wish that if we were closer to it, we could talk for 3 hours about it. But right now, that's pretty much what we've got. You know, what we see and what we don't see is what we have so far. It's the quiet phase. But and I emphasize this to all your listeners in Orleans Parish, you know, this is a time for us to pay attention too. You know, right now is your one chance to maybe bump into one of these candidates in a supermarket checkout line or somewhere at a restaurant. I don't recommend interrupting someone's meal, but, you know, if you see them on the street or shopping in a store or something, go up to them and talk to them. Ask them. Tell them what's on your mind. It's the best way to get to know a candidate.
Talking with political analyst Clancy Dubose about the mayor's race. Before we let you go, I wanted to talk to you as both, because you are a political analyst and an attorney, a very interesting ruling out today. A New Orleans judge has granted a motion from Sheriff Susan Hudson to have DA Jason Williams removed from prosecuting any criminal activity found linked to the escape of those 10 inmates 14 days ago from her jail. Hudson argued that Williams is biased because he's supporting Michelle Woodfork's campaign for sheriff and insisted that he can't fairly investigate her or her staff. What do you think about that?
Well, I'd have to see the ruling and the reasons. I can understand that, and I don't know which judge. Was it a judge at criminal court or a judge at, did she file it as a civil action?
Well, we're just getting this. It almost has to be a criminal court, right, because of the fact that—
Not necessarily. That, if she filed, that's the logical thing, but yeah, I don't want to comment on it until I see the ruling and see the pleadings, because—
But can a prosecutor—
I'm talking in a vacuum here.
Can a prosecutor—
well, yeah.
Fairly prosecute cases, even if they're supporting an opponent against the sheriff?
Well, that's the issue that was before the judge, obviously. And you have to weigh, it's a fact-driven decision. I'll put it that way. You can't make a blanket ruling one way or the other. I think there are plenty of prosecutors who are, and I think Jason's one of them, who can put politics aside, but it's based upon the unique set of circumstances and facts, because of the timing of statements made by a statement made by Jason Williams right on the day that these people escaped, he endorsed her opponent, you know, and so that's one of the factors I'm sure that the judge took into consideration.
Yeah, that did seem like political opportunism, didn't it?
Well, I don't, it's, you know, everything in politics is about opportunity.
you well, know, true.
I'm not a consultant, so I don't give advice to politicians, but I can analyze it and say he might have been well advised to wait. Frankly, he fired his shot early on, and now it's already out there. His endorsement might have mattered more, 2 months from now. But he issued it then, probably, I don't want to say in the heat of the moment, but it was in the middle of a crisis, and he saw an opportunity and he took it. And now a judge has said you can't prosecute, and it's not going to be that big a deal, because Attorney General Liz Merle's already all over this thing. She's heading up the investigation into what happened, and her staff is already prosecuting a lot of cases in New Orleans. So she will either handle that herself, or she'll appoint a prosecutor from somewhere to step in and do that.
Well, for whatever reason, Hudson feels like
he could appeal that. He could appeal that ruling too, by the way.
So of course, yeah.
It's not over yet. So
yeah, but for whatever reason, Hudson feels she's better off with Merle prosecuting than Williams.
Or Merle appointing someone, yeah.
All right. Clancy, always a pleasure. And we understand why we can't say too much about the mayor's race yet, because we're still really in the preseason. We haven't suited up and taken the field yet. But we appreciate your giving us this early look at it and helping us understand what's to come.
Okay, man. Good luck to you and all your listeners.
Thank you. Clancy Dubose here on WWL. All right, we've got some time for you to sound off now. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Call me or text me right now. What do you think are going to be the huge issues in this mayor's race? And now that it looks like, anyway, we know who the players are going to be, what are you expecting from this election? And do you think there will be major change in New Orleans? There's no doubt that people in the city, outside the city, and around the region are fed up in large with what we've seen over the last 7 years, and they want major change. Do you think there will be major change in the city of New Orleans when it's all said and done in this mayor's race? Call and text right now, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. I want to hear from you after this on WWL.